Anybody recognize where that is? Yep, Jericho. Spent the next several weeks looking at the children of Israel going to Jericho and conquering Jericho. Makes a couple of great songs. But this is a time period in their lives where the Exodus is over. Moses has passed. Joshua is now in charge. And they are instructed by God to cross the Jordan River and to conquer the Promised Land. And the first major obstacle in the way is the city of Jericho. Now, you may have noticed that Sawarita celebrated their 25th anniversary this week of 25 years as an incorporated town. Jericho, on the other hand, celebrates 10,000 years of being a city, a place. Okay, a little bit of difference. You know, I remember having a conversation with one of my relatives talking about a real old house in Kentucky, and I said, that's nothing. Santa Fe's got places way older. And it's just all a matter of perspective. Jericho has been an inhabited place since there's been people inhabiting things. And it had a significant wall around it, and it had a reputation for being impregnable. And here comes the people of God, and their first major obstacle to conquering the Promised Land is Jericho. They've had some other skirmishes. They've had some other things where God had miraculously helped them through. But the big obstacle is Jericho. You ever had an obstacle in your life? Something that just seems insurmountable, something that is huge, something that you lie awake at night thinking, I will never get this done, this will never happen. That's Jericho. Let's see what God has to say. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, sent two men as spies, secretly, from some weirdly named city in Israel, that I'm not going to say publicly because it will sound wrong no matter how I say it. Go, view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came into the house of a harlot whose name was Rahab and lodged there. It was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men from the sons of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. And the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who've entered your house, for they've come to search out all the land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, yes, the men came to me, but I didn't know where they were from. It came about that when it's time to shut the gate at dark, that the men went out. I don't know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them in the stalks of flax which she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued them on the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who were pursuing them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who are beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. When we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God He is God on heaven above and on earth beneath. Now therefore, please swear to me by the Lord, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you also deal kindly with my father's household, and give me a pledge of truth, and spare my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters with all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. So the men said to her, our life for yours, if you do not tell this business of ours. And it shall come about that when the Lord gives us the land, that we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. First thing that happened was Joshua wanted to be aware of the situation. Sent two men as spies. He needed information. When you have an obstacle in front of you, when you have a challenge that's beyond your capability, seek out information. Learn about the task ahead. Learn about the people, the geography, the area. Do reconnaissance. Learn. Observe. Be aware of things you do not understand. In the summer of 1982, Sandra and I volunteered to go to Henderson, Nevada and start a new church in the Green Valley area of Henderson, Nevada. It's just on the south edge of Las Vegas. And we're supposed to help get a new church started. There was a group coming from the College Park Baptist Church in Las Vegas that was going to be the core group for the new church start. And they wanted us to come and help do some things that summer to help them get a foothold in the area. And one of the things that we were supposed to do was to learn all we could about the people that lived there. It was a new housing development. No one had lived there over a couple of years because the houses were all new. Very fast growing part of the Las Vegas area at the time. And so one of the things we started doing was go door to door and trying to just do a kind of basic religious survey to find out who lived there. And to our surprise and amazement, 20% of the people who lived there at that time were of Jewish background. They're New York Jews moving out to Las Vegas and buying homes and settling in. And you could tell when you went up to their door, because they would have the doorpost thing hanging on their doorpost. And then you knock on the door and sure enough, they'd say, no, we're Jewish. We're not interested in your new church. We're Jewish. We have, and so we came and reported that. And it was interesting how hard it was to get people to believe that. But if we looked at who was there, it makes a difference on how you're going to reach them. And so there's that need to be aware of the situation. Every time we want to do a mission event or mission trip, we always need to send somebody there to talk about what we can do and find out what's going on and learn about the area before we can commit to doing something. If we want to reach folks here in Sahuarita, we need to find out who the folks are. If we want to reach our neighborhood, we need to find out who lives in our neighborhood. We need to know people and be aware of the situation. And find out about them. If we want to win somebody to Jesus, we need to find out where they're at in their spiritual walk and what they know about God and where they're coming from. We need to be aware of the situation. Whatever insurmountable obstacle we see in front of us, we need to learn and observe and be aware of what's new. And then when you get there, You need to recognize that God prepares friends ahead of time. Says Elliot, one of our friends from Clagato. He's actually the pastor's brother. He's a neat guy. Beautiful man. Loves the Lord. Helps his brother. Cares for the people in the church. Knows his family. In this scriptural passage we got to, they found a friend that God had prepared for them. She was a lady named Rahab. Now she is not who you would expect to be one of their friends. Two good, fine, upstanding young Jewish guys. The scripture calls her a harlot. Another word for harlot is usually prostitute. She may not have been a prostitute as we understand the phrase today. She may have been more like a madam. She had a large house where people stayed and services were provided as necessary, if you catch my drift. Sometimes a motel for a place to stay, sometimes a restaurant for places to eat, sometimes other services. But she was called a harlot. God has prepared friends for you. Wherever you go, and whatever you do. We went to Puerto Rico. There's not just the pastor of the church, there's one of the fellows in the church. We spent a lot of time driving us around and getting supplies and taking care of things. God had already prepared him to be a friend for us there. We went to India. A gentleman named Kalai was there when we got there, walked us through everything we needed to do, taught us what we needed to know, and was a friend we were not expecting. And every time you do something for God, God has provided a friend that you may not understand and may not be the most likely person you would find. Elliot, by choice, lives in a hogan with no running water, no electricity. He's also the one that owns all the audiovisual equipment that we use for the week and had a tremendous understanding of how the electronics work, but lights his house with a generator just because that's the way he chooses to live. At first glance, not what you might think of a friend God had placed there. At first glance, Rahab would not have been the one you would have chosen. Look for some male homeowner. Look for some influential person. No. In the Aladdin movie, referred to as a street rat. That's who they found. Look how open your minds have to be to acknowledge friends in strange places. She risked her life to lie for these two spies. Why? Because when we heard about it, our hearts melted and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Her belief in God made her the best friend they had in Jericho. In the New Testament, when Jesus is sending the 70 out, one of the things He tells them to do is look for that man of peace. That's one of the best descriptions of what church planters do when they go to a new area, is look for that man of peace, look for that friend, look for that person God has already placed there for you. And so when you've got that mountain and you need to be an overcomer and you've got that obstacle, look for that friend God has placed for you. I can't tell you the number of times I've heard someone talk about going to the hospital being scared, and a nurse, on a couple of occasions, the cleaning person comes in and says, "Let's pray together about that." Even on occasions where doctors and surgeons says, "Yes, let's pray together about that." And they pray. And the impossible obstacle of fear of what there's about to have occur all of a sudden disappears. Because they found a friend in an unusual place. We need to look for the friends that God has placed there. If we're going to be overcomers, we need to recognize that God is not surprised by what we've got going on. That God has probably placed a friend there to encourage, to help. Let me turn that around a little bit. Perhaps you're the friend for somebody else. Not well thought of, not enjoyed, not appreciated, ignored and overlooked by everybody like Rahab was. But you can be the friend that believes in God and takes a stand. God prepares friends. But then, if we're going to truly overcome, we're going to recognize that God wants us to be people of integrity and honor. The ability to make promises that are believed. It's amazing how Rahab says, "I need you to promise to care for my father and my mother and my siblings and my family." And here come the two spies that say, "We will protect our life on the line for you. We will protect your family." And when they get back to Joshua, they make it plain to him that part of their understanding here is to care for Rahab's family. And they were able to make a commitment that had integrity and honor and hold to that commitment. Oh, it's amazing how people promise stuff they're never going to fulfill. "Oh, yes, Pastor, I'll be in church on Sunday." You didn't say which Sunday. There's at least one Sunday in the year you come, okay, you fulfilled that, maybe. And you and I both know that's not what you said. "Oh, sure, I'll take care of that for the church." Someone came and asked me one time how come something around the church hadn't been done. I says, "Because seven people promised me they were going to do it, and I'm afraid to do it for them, because if I do it for them, then they'll miss out on the blessing that they promised me they'd take care of." Oh. "I give you my word." And they kept it. "I give you my word. My life for your life." And they were people of integrity and honor. You need to give your word sparingly, but keep your word fiercely. You need to give your word sparingly, but keep your word fiercely. You need to be people of integrity and honor. What mountain are you climbing? What obstacle are you overcoming? What lays in your path that gives you fear and keeps you awake at night? Cry out, Lord, send laborers into the harvest. Lord, workers into the field. What obstacle are you facing? Church is shrinking, not growing. How dare it ever happen? What God has said, we are overcomers. We're going to spend the next few weeks looking at how they overcame this tremendous obstacle of the city of Jericho standing in their way, the walled city, and how it came down. But don't forget, the next place is Ai, and it didn't go so well there. God's people need to make a difference in a hurting, lost, and dying world. No matter what our fears are, no matter what the obstacles are, we need to be the people of integrity and honor that find the friend and build the friendship with those people we can't even begin to understand now. Might not expect, but to be the people God wants us to be. Let's pray. Father, please send laborers into the harvest. Send workers. Help us to understand you are our God and we serve you. Help us recognize the friends that we have. Help us to have knowledge and understanding of who you are and what you've done. And help us to learn from you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.